Last week, Estelle and I were in Vienna for a late 25th wedding anniversary trip. And if you've been to Vienna, you will agree it is an absolutely stunning city, based on around 2,500 years of history. Modern Vienna is full of culture, art, architecture, and music. And over the week, Estelle and I got to experience this culture and visit a number of stunning places. It is the home of classical music, and listed among some of the Viennese composers are Beethoven, Schubert, Strauss, and of course, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Listening to classical music on your radio or your mobile phone, or even a hi-fi, doesn't compare to actually sitting inside the very building where Mozart actually performed some of his works. The Palais Augsburg. The classical Viennese architecture is on a level of its own. Grand classical buildings, both on the palatial level down to the residential level, following the rules of classic architecture. And as an architect myself, I was in heaven there. I could have spent months, packed my wife home, and then just gone round looking at all the architecture. But it was grand design, right the way down to exquisite detailing at every level. The plaster work inside the buildings, the window railings, statues, even light fittings, ornately decorated. The Belvedere Palace, once the most expensive private development ever undertaken, is made up of an upper palace and a lower palace. And it is a Baroque design building, and it was built as a residence for Prince Eugene of Savoy of the Habsburg dynasty, and was paid for by the spoils of war against the Ottoman Empire. The lower palace contained a bedroom so ornate that the walls were gold and mirrors. That was literally it. Ornate detailing, intricacies. The upper palace houses one of the finest art galleries worth millions in Vienna. It even has two Monets on the wall. However, I went into that gallery, looked around, and oh, that plasterwork up there is much more interesting. A couple of £1 million worth of Monets, and I was more interested in the architecture. But the detailing of that plasterwork was beautiful. It wasn't just a pattern. It was 3D reliefs and scenes. The main columns in the entrance hall were huge carvings, 15, 20 foot high, of Greek heroes holding up the ceilings. And outside in the gardens, you had mythical statues around the garden, mermaids, sphinxes, and more Greek heroes. Man certainly has a creative mind, but it is limited to the human plane and the physical. That is a human palace and a human throne. I want to take the time available this afternoon just to look at God's throne, to give us a glimpse of the most incredible space which exists. Our limited minds can't grasp what that space is really like, but I want to help just try and paint a small picture of what it is like. So let's start in Exodus 25. Here we have Christ talking to Moses and setting out a human, earthly representation of God's throne. 25 verse 1. Then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly, with his heart you shall take my offering. Straight away there's a total different view. The Ottoman Empire, spoils of war, was used to build this grand palace. And yet, it was a free will offering that was taken up to build what we're going to talk about. Verse 3, and I'm just going to drop through. This is the offering that you shall take up for them. Gold, silver, bronze, blues and purples and scarlet yarn, fine linen, thread and goat hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light and spices, for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. dropping down to verse 10, and they shall make an ark of acacia wood, verse 11, and you shall overlay it with pure gold, inlaid and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make it a moulding of gold all around it. Dropping down to verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work, and you shall make them at the end of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end, and the other cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of the one piece, as with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their face shall, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be towards the mercy seat. This is one piece of work. It's not pieces that have been brought together and made together on site. The craftsmanship and the quality and the stunning beauty of it. And you carry on reading for the next couple of chapters, talking about the tools and the utensils and all of the other elements that are used to make up the tabernacle. Here we have God's throne pictured on earth at the human scale so that mankind can start just trying to grasp the enormity and the power of our God. Several things stand out. As I said, the Belvedere Palace was built using spoils of war. This was a free will offering. Man's way of get versus God's way of give. If you turn, please, to Revelation 4, because this is where God's throne is. Revelation 4, and just starting in verse 1, we're just going to go down here. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me. Now, when Estelle and I were in the Palais Augsburg listening to a baritone and a soprano singing an aria by Mozart, it was spectacular. But this is a voice speaking, and it's sounding like a trumpet. In verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne. Just stop and actually try and picture the absolute stunning magnificence. Mankind could paint a rainbow, or maybe use light to diffuse, but this is a rainbow standing there around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And a few weeks back, I posted on the Fellowship Forum a video that I had seen, which was the lightning strikes recorded at 4,000 frames a second. And when you watch that and you see the beauty and the intricacy of those lightning strikes, it is on another level. We see a lightning strike happen like that, and yet the beauty is there, the thunderings and the voices all together. Dropping down to verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. A sea of glass. How that is refracting and reflecting the lightnings that we've just read about. It is not just a static environment like the Belvedere Palace that we went into. Okay, yes, there was some, the light was coming through the windows, but this is on a level above that, far, far above that. And the Belvedere Palace, it had carved statues, but here we see the real, the real beings coming down. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they did not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Can you imagine if a voice is related to a trumpet, just the sound? You've got perfect acoustics. It is beyond description. You know, we're trying to paint a picture here, but it is almost beyond what we can even comprehend. And at the feast in Kentucky, I spoke about that new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, where God the Father will make his abode and his throne for all eternity on the earth in the new Jerusalem. So let's just turn over to Revelation 21. And starting halfway through verse 10. The great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was the most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Even the light is totally different, totally unique. Dropping down to verse 15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. So a reed was used in ancient times to measure a building, to make sure it is accurate, that it is plumb and square, to make sure that it is being built in accordance with the architect who designed it. Down through the ages, different materials have been used as a reed. Copper, ivory, stone, even wood. But the reed used to make sure that this new Jerusalem is built perfectly is a gold reed. It's pure, representing the total accuracy and the perfection that this entire city will have. Verse 18, and the construction of its walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold like glass. There were some exhibits of gold in the Natural History Museum, thousands of years old. Not a single bit of oxidization or corrosion on them. And this is an entire, you know, the walls were like gold, were pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations were not of concrete like we use today. The walls of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundations was jasper, second sapphire, third chalcone, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and sardis and chrysolite, beryl, topaz, 10th chrysospath, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. We just make our foundations out of concrete, or in the olden days, stone. Look at the quality of the very foundation that's here. And this is, when I read this, when I was preparing my split sermon at the feast, and the 12 gates in verse 21, were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Personally, I don't think we can truly visualize the beauty and the wonder and the purity of the New Jerusalem. We can't imagine or hear properly the voices like trumpets sounding within the throne room of the universe. The sea of glass, like crystal, with the lightnings and the thunders sounding. It's hard enough for us to sometimes even to picture the physical, the solid gold mercy seat within the tabernacle, which the Israelites carried throughout the wilderness. And yet this is our future. So in conclusion, I'm just going to quote two scriptures. You know what they are. To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in my temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. That's Revelation 3:12. That's what's being offered to every single one of us. Not some stone building made up from the spoils of war. No matter how intricate that physical building is detailed or the workmanship is, but thrones in the very throne room of the universe. Revelation 3:21, I'll just read it. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is the future we have. Not a physical human throne room, but serving under God and Christ in the very throne room of this universe.